So Heather, any comments or experience with brigatinib in terms of tolerability? And also, I kind of gotten the feeling over the last couple of years that maybe alectinib is not as tolerated, well tolerated as I thought it was. I kind of came in thinking about it was extremely well tolerated, and then I started to kind of hear stuff. So A, any comments about the pulmonary issue with brigatinib tolerability in general, and also about alectinib tolerability?
So all of the ALK drugs have different tolerability issues. And I think in general, most of them are reasonably well tolerated, but you're always going to find a patient who has a rough time. We're not really talking about crizotinib in the first line anymore because we don't give it. There we had to learn about visual toxicities. We had to learn about edema being a real challenge. We kind of got used to that, but it was rough. With alectinib, in general, for most people, it's incredibly well tolerated. There are, though, some patients who do get the myalgias, and that can be challenging, especially because it's a drug they're taking every day for 3 years or potentially even longer. And so that's something that can really, over time, become more and more bothersome to them. But in general, I found it to be pretty well tolerated. I have less experience with brigatinib. I did have one patient who did have pulmonary challenges with the drug, but it was a very complex patient, quite ill. And so I haven't taken that as a, oh, it's a pulmonary toxic drug. I think that with that lead-in that we do, where you give half dose for a week and then get up to full dose, we're really not seeing that being a big problem. So I don't think that the pulmonary toxicity is really too challenging with brigatinib. The challenge that brigatinib faces in the first line is that in the ALTA-1L, the progression-free survival was not as good as what we saw in the ALEX trials. And we don't like to do cross-trial comparisons, but we all do them. And as Jeff had mentioned, with the inertia we all have of using alectinib first line, I think it's going to be really tough. And unless there's a big price differential or something else that's going to drive it in a different way, we're probably not going to make a big switch. I think brigatinib still plays a role because there are different resistance mechanisms. And so that's something to look at. Having not had a lot of experience using brigatinib, I can't speak to some of the other toxicities, but it's a TKI. It has other targets. There are going to be toxicities in some patients. I do want to mention the other two ALK drugs that we have available. So there's ceritinib. Ceritinib, again, was great when it was the only second-line agent we had after crizotinib, but it's not really playing in the same game as far as first line, and it's not being used much. And there, the challenges were a lot of GI toxicities, and we finally figured out how to get around that with taking it with food and at lower doses. But again, it was kind of too late by that point for us to use it much. Now we're using more and more of lorlatinib. That's a drug that definitely has its challenges. And so I do want to just mention it. Some of the challenges are things you wouldn't know to look for unless you read about them and know to do it, and that's with the cholesterol. So hypercholesterolemia, again, it's a lab toxicity, but it's a lab toxicity that's going to lead to real toxicity if it's not managed. And so we have to really be mindful of that and paying attention to it. I've had a lot of patients really challenged with edema as well and have had to grapple with that. And just an overall, I don't feel well with this agent. And then the less common, but definitely seen psychiatric issues. So patients getting very, very profoundly depressed. And so there are things that we're not used to dealing with that we have to know about as we're starting to use these newer agents and things that can be very surprising. And as lorlatinib's being used more because it has the best data kind of after you've been through another ALK agent. And again, it's not always going to be the best choice. It's going to depend on what those resistance mechanisms are, but we are using it more and it has its challenges. So I think each of these drugs has things that can be unique that we need to be mindful of, and it's an extra challenge when we're especially looking at community oncologists who maybe only have one or two ALK patients in their whole practice, so they're not going to have that familiarity with using these agents. But that's where it's really important to do that reading and understand the drugs as we're starting to use them more.